Know what to eat, but find yourself not eating it. Perhaps you've been on diets and off again, and just wonder why you can't stick to them. The Eating For You podcast, hosted by me, Sally Ann Pisk, will show you what's been missing so you can enjoy a healthier way of eating that lasts. Hi, Sally Ann here, and today I'm excited to be sharing the dieting mindset and why it's a major block to you enjoying lasting results for your health. Up front, I apologize for my slightly husky voice today. It's the result of some allergies from cleaning out our dusty woodshed, but these will pass, and I'm just so pleased that we have wood aside for the upcoming winter months. Today happens to be International No Diet Day, and this is a very good reason for me just to be discussing dieting mindset with you. But I want this episode to be a celebration of this important occasion. And we have another special event happening in our Eating For You community starting today, and I'll share more about this with you soon. International No Diet Day is an annual celebration of healthy eating, healthy living, and body shape diversity. We're not all meant to be the same, and we certainly need different things to support our health and well-being. So this is an opportunity to raise awareness about body size discrimination and the harm that can be caused through dieting. International No Diet Day was founded by Mary Evans Young in the United Kingdom back in 1992. Mary experienced an eating disorder herself after being bullied at school for being fat. And as a young adult, she was concerned about the negative impact of promoting one perfect body image on the self-esteem and the health of young people. After its inception, International No Diet Day quickly spread to other countries. And as an Australian dietitian and mindfulness practitioner, I've witnessed firsthand the detrimental effects of restrictive diets and the importance of adopting a more holistic and mindful approach to wellness. I'm now going to explore what a dieting mindset might look like for you. But first of all, let's make sure we are all on the same page when it comes to the definition of diet. Being on a diet means following a set of rules that come with a meal plan, or they might be just the rules on their own, or there might be just the meal plan. Fundamentally, you are being told what to eat, when to eat, why to eat, and how much to eat by these rules and the meal plan. A diet is something that you go on with a goal in mind, maybe to lose weight, to have more energy, to lower your blood sugar levels, to improve your gut health, or to get fit. And while diets don't usually last that long, unfortunately, in the short time that we implement them, they download software into your brain that has a significant impact on your relationship with food. Just about diets not lasting that long, research suggests that fad diets especially only last for 6 to 15 days, a little bit like New Year's resolutions. And less than 6% of adults can stick to healthy eating for 12 months following a diet. Some research suggests that this is actually below 1%. A diet mindset refers to the thoughts, beliefs, and perceptions that remain after your dieting experiences have long passed. That's the dieting software that I was talking about. Repeated failures change our way of thinking about food, exercise, and our body. Diet culture also reinforces a diet mindset. You don't have to look too far to see magazine and newspaper headlines boasting about ways to lose weight fast and safely, why carbs are bad and fat is good. And there are just far too many social media accounts posting before and after weight loss photos or messages around kilojoule calorie counting or fad diets like keto, intermittent fasting and paleo. You might overhear or even participate in weight and diet discussions with your colleagues at work. And unfortunately, concerned healthcare practitioners and family members may bring up the weight issue with you too, not understanding that another diet is the last thing that you need. Fundamentally, a dieting mindset includes an all or nothing view that focuses on numbers and temporary goals. It often involves rules, limits, and judgmental statements. Your decision to eat or not eat depends on whether you think you should, rather than tuning in to your natural eating cues. I like to explain to my clients that their mindset around food and dieting has come about because of their beliefs, their assumptions, and what they've been taught or witnessed from family, friends, diet rules, healthcare practitioners, and social media. They may or not even be aware of these, but these beliefs, assumptions, and learned rules influence their identity, the choices that they make, and the results of their experiences. And you may feel like this as well. I like the concept that mindset is like a lens through which you view and experience eating. So your diet mindset is not just your thoughts and beliefs, it includes your feelings, the actions that you take, the foods you eat or don't eat, and the results you experience. Too often, that all or nothing way of healthy eating and your weight yo-yoing in response. But the good news is, just as a lens can be changed in reading glasses, your mindset lens can be changed too. So, do you have a dieting mindset? Let's check out these common mindsets, and I'm going to share the dieting mindset first compared to a mindset that is more neutral and natural around food. Up first, I can't eat bread because it's bad for my health, or it could be it will make me fat, versus I can eat all foods mindfully. Another one, I ate too much at the party versus I enjoyed catching up with my friends. Food is sometimes my friend and sometimes my foe versus food is just food. I can eat whatever I want on my cheat days versus I can mindfully eat whatever I want on any day. I will have more confidence when I lose weight versus I am confident because I choose to have that mindset. My health depends on me being a certain weight versus I am healthy by making mindful choices. Now the next one's a bit of a biggie. It's how do I look versus how do I feel? And the next one, I ate too much, so I will have to exercise more versus I ate too much and will wait until I'm hungry before I eat again. I need to keep to a meal plan so I don't put on weight versus I eat mindfully and enjoy my natural healthy weight. And the final one I'm going to share now is I have to just eat the good foods and skip the bad ones versus foods are neutral and I choose the amounts that nourish me. Did you relate to any of those dieting mindsets? And if you did, you're certainly not alone. But we also have to take care that some of our healthy eating guidelines are really not a diet in disguise. And the extent to which healthy eating becomes a diet has to do with how rigid you are with your food choices and how you feel when you have stepped away from one of your guidelines. And this might sound something like this. I can't eat chocolate or ice cream or potato chips because they're unhealthy. I can't eat after 7 p.m. because that will make me gain weight. I skip breakfast because when I eat it, I feel hungrier throughout the day. Sugar is poison, so I avoid all added sugars. I can't eat bread because I can't stop at one slice. I never eat takeaway meals. But if for some reason you don't follow these guidelines, you will feel guilty and the self-blame will start. And you will choose to do something to compensate for your eating of the bad food or breaking the rule. And that could be exercising more or restricting what you eat at the next meal, or you may even skip the meal altogether. But one of the most harmful aspects of the dieting mindset is that it links the choice of foods to your worth as a person. You are eating bad foods, so you start to believe, I must be a bad person, I am weak-willed, or I'm unworthy. This mindset can set up and fuel a cycle of emotional eating that not only adds excess weight, it reduces your self-esteem, and when you're in it, it might seem impossible to get out of. And I certainly know that feeling because I have been there and I have shared this with you in other episodes. And the cycle goes something like this. You restrict your food, so you're on a diet and you exercise more. You are really happy to lose weight and feel proud that you can reject food. For some reason, all of a sudden, you feel more tempted to eat different foods. And it's those foods that you have been restricting. And before you know it, the old habits come back. You stop restricting food, you're eating less healthily, and your daily exercise stops. Soon, feelings of failure and shame overwhelm you. To cope, you find yourself eating when you're not hungry, due to the emotions that you're feeling. But you may not even realize that these emotions are the cause of your overeating. And now that you're eating more and not exercising, the weight returns. And your desire to lose weight is strong again. And the dieting cycle starts one more time. Just a reminder, in episode 80, I talk about healthy eating without the insanity. So if you relate to that cycle that I've just shared with you, please have a listen to episode 80. The sense of failure, guilt, shame, and repeated weight loss and weight gain are just some of the harmful effects of the dieting mindset. I read recently that dieting is a form of trauma to the mind and body and can have significant and lasting impacts on your thought patterns. And the impact on your mindset can be difficult to identify. And again, that's that dieting software that's running in the background that has become a habit and you're unconscious of how it's directing your food choices, but more importantly, how it's making you feel. So let's have a look at some of these costs of dieting in a little bit more detail. Weight yo-yos are certainly not desired. And one of the ladies in my program, she's in her mid-80s, so she has experienced so many weight loss and regain cycles. But I'm really happy to share that now she is content to focus on changing her eating habits, including her beliefs around food and herself, and her weight is taking care of itself. So for the first time ever, she's put away the scales and she is just focused on tuning into her body and choosing things that nourish her. The metabolic slump that occurs with repeated weight loss and regain can be simply explained. When we restrict food and lose weight, we don't just lose fat, we lose lean muscle as well. And the amount of lean muscle we have is related to our metabolic rate. And I've talked about this before, but the metabolic rate really is the amount of energy that we consume from food to live our daily activities. And of course, the excess energy then gets stored as fat. One of the best things we can do to avoid this drop in our metabolism is to make sure we're doing the correct exercise to maintain our muscle strength and size, but also to set up lifelong ways of eating that are not all or nothing. Dieting definitely leads to negative health consequences. And I really hate saying this because too many people are telling you it's important to lose weight to improve your health. And here I am telling you the opposite. Christine, one of my clients, explained to me before she came into one of my programs, I have dieted myself to obesity and picked up health conditions like diabetes and arthritis along the way. Other conditions that can have a lasting impact are osteoporosis from the restriction and continued loss of muscle mass during your adult life. In the short term, restriction can lead to conditions such as iron deficiency anemia. But one of the things that I haven't spoken so much about and need to talk about more is that dieting can also lead to these disordered eating patterns and actual eating disorders. Diets let you down because they don't transform your eating habits. Krisha, like a lot of the ladies that I talk with and work with, when she came into my program, she told me, "Sally-Anne, I know what healthy eating is." Her and her partner had been off to see a nutritionist a few years back and had been given great guidance as to what healthy eating was. But what Krisha didn't realize is that because she had been focusing on the food side of things, she hadn't noticed a particular eating pattern that was having a strong influence on what she was doing in the afternoons. Through her mindful eating practices, she identified that she had a stress eating habit. It was mostly to do with work stress, and as soon as that hit, she went looking for the chocolate. Once she had this understanding of why it was happening, we could build in strategies to help reduce her stress eating. The overeating of restricted foods is a common side effect of dieting. And when we restrict foods, they become even more desirable. And I know when Mary eventually identified that her underlying driver for eating that was making it difficult for her to keep to healthy eating was eating for pleasure. Part of her was saying, "I want to eat these foods because I've restricted them so many times on diets." But now, happily to say that most of the time, Mary is eating in tune with her hunger and satiety. We don't eat mindfully all of the time, and even when we do eat mindfully, we may choose to eat for pleasure. One of the most popular questions I get at my speaking events are about the diet rules that people have heard. And these rules can create so much confusion and overwhelm, so much so you could just be stuck and think it's all too hard. You know, it's like, can I eat carbs? Should I be eating more fat? And is it really true that I can eat cream? It's good for my health? I don't think I need to let you know which diet that idea came from. And no, for most people, eating cream in large amounts is not good for your heart health. Dieting rules override your ability to eat naturally. For one of my clients, she realized that the diet mindset was remaining strong, and it took her several months to be able to trust her natural hunger and satiety signals again. And one of the reasons that this does become challenging is when you're given a diet plan, you're being told that you need to eat the same amount of food every day. But once we start tuning in to our actual hunger signals, we realize that we're not as hungry every day, and some days we'll eat more and some days we'll eat less. And this is totally natural. It's to do with our activity levels. It could be to do with our health on that day, but also the climate. In different seasons, we want to eat different amounts of foods. And this is where we have to understand that not only will the amount of food that we eat change perhaps between the season, we might experience some fluctuations in our body weight, but not enough that requires us to change our clothing size. This is totally normal. We're not meant to be the same weight every day, and we're not. One of the big things is dieting robs you of too many hours in your life. Just think about how much time have you spent counting kilojoules or calories, macros, points, or obsessively reading every food label. Not only does this take time, it's stressful. And then add in the guilt, the blame, the shame that comes when you can't stick to that particular number that you're trying to reach, whether it be calories or amount of energy that you've burnt through exercise. And then add in the fact that you're probably cooking a different meal for yourself compared to everybody else in the family. One study suggested we spend 17 years trying to lose weight, and I emphasize the word trying. And I know in my own journey, my weight was fluctuating for about a 20-year period before I started looking into this alternative to going on and off diets. But then there's a whole emotional roller coaster of weight. And I think Anne was very brave when she came into our program and said, like, "I'm really happy to ditch the scales. I've never liked having to weigh myself." And by doing that, she realized that the scales in the past had dictated what she had done. So if the weight wasn't going in the right direction, she would just give up. Whereas with the Eating for You approach, she focused on her eating habits. And when she noticed that she was losing weight, she jumped on the scales and that confirmed what she had observed. Because ladies will say to me, if I lose weight, I celebrate with food. And if I gain weight, I commiserate with food. So either way, monitoring your weight is not particularly helpful. And as I've shared before, one of the worst impacts of dieting is that this repeated cycle of dieting makes you feel like the failure when it's really not your fault. But this sense of failure can actually start spreading into other areas. If I don't lose weight, I won't be able to wear the dress for the wedding. If I don't lose weight, I won't find my lifetime partner. I can't apply for the new job until I've lost weight. So what's the alternative? And in two words, it's mindful eating. But you've probably gathered that already. If you've been listening to other podcast episodes, you know that that is what I promote, but I've also mentioned it a few times so far. The Eating for You approach, which is of course based on mindfulness, encourages you to observe rather than judge your food choices and how they are making you feel after eating. It is a non-diet approach, which means tuning into and trusting your body. It means listening to hunger and satiety cues, caring about your health, and making lifestyle choices that make you feel good and well. It's also about tuning into and observing your mind, including your thoughts, beliefs, and that inner chatter, the self-talk. It encourages you to cultivate beliefs that support your health and happiness, and removing those that don't. It is also realizing that happiness involves a healthy lifestyle rather than a certain weight. And if you have a long history of dieting, then it's quite possible that you don't even know what your ideal natural healthy weight is. So eating mindfully guides you back to meeting your individual health and lifestyle needs. As diets have disconnected you from eating intuitively and achieving this. So let's take another look at a dieting mindset versus a non-dieting mindset. I feel guilty if I miss a day of exercise versus I exercise when I can and I give myself breaks. I also build in incidental movement as this is really helpful. I exercise more if I feel I've eaten too much versus I use exercise to relieve stress, improve my posture and increase my strength. I avoid eating bad foods versus all foods are neutral and I eat mindfully. I feel guilty if I eat certain foods versus I ask myself, what will nourish me right now? I measure my progress by how many kilos or pounds I lose versus I measure my progress by the changes I make to my beliefs and my eating habits and how confident I feel. I am successful if I look better versus I am successful if I feel better. I concentrate on willpower versus I trust my body to recognize my hunger and satiety cues. So, if you haven't considered the impact of a dieting mindset before, then I recommend your first step is to acknowledge that the dieting mindset does exist and it could be impacting your food choices and your health and happiness. And this episode of the Eating for You podcast has touched on many of the impacts. Secondly, start to observe your thoughts and beliefs around food as they pop up. Recognize them without judgment and start to challenge them with kindness and patience. Another thing you can do is to start writing down your food rules, thinking about where they came from, questioning, are they helpful or harmful? Is the rule scientifically true? Or did I learn this from past dieting experiences. The next step is to start challenging your food rules, giving yourself permission to eat all foods, of course, unless you have an allergy or intolerance to particular foods. However, I know that this can be a big step to take without healing your relationship with food first. So if that's the case, please seek support to remove your dieting mindset so you can start transforming to a more mindful and intuitive way of eating. And you are most welcome to book a free 15-minute consult call to chat with me about what you're struggling with and how I can help. And as I mentioned earlier, this year I have something extra special to share with you for International No Diet Day. I'm hosting a 3-day release challenge, which starts today, May 6th. Rather than host a 1-day event, which can be difficult for everyone to attend, this free event, the Release Challenge, will allow you to view the 3 trainings at any time up until May 13th. So you have a week to complete all 3 of the trainings. This way, you can take away what you learn and put it into action. A 1-day event sounds great, but too often what we learn gets put aside due to the routine and commitments of everyday life. And I want you to enjoy lasting results. In the Release Challenge, you'll learn what's blocking you from lasting success with your eating, weight, and health, the steps required to release the block that you have for good, and what's needed to set achievable goals without a diet or scales. The dieting mindset is just one example of the blocks that could be keeping you stuck in an all or nothing way of eating. So pop into our free and private group for women on Facebook so you can be part of our No Diet Challenge. I've included the link in this episode's notes. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to sharing with you again next week. And if you have enjoyed this episode, please share it on your social media pages. You have been listening to the Eating For You podcast with Sally-Anne Pisk. If you are looking for additional support to enjoy a lifelong way of healthier eating, then join our private community for women on Facebook. I have included the link to join in this episode's notes.